What do the attitudes and actions of a disciple of Christ look like? Last week, the first in our series on discipleship, we learnt that the term disciple doesn't just apply to those Christians who are, you know, extra committed, who have jobs in the church or are on special committees. No. Every single person who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Saviour is a disciple. Those whose sin has been dealt with on the cross, who are forgiven and waiting for Jesus to return to take them home with him. Every single Christian, in short, is a disciple. But what does a disciple look like? Or what distinguishes a disciple from someone who doesn't trust in the risen Lord Jesus? That is the question we are going to try and answer as we look at Colossians chapter 3 today. Now, to help us answer this question, I thought it might be a good idea, good and helpful, if we had a little football quiz. Yes, as we live in Australia's sportiest town, should be pretty simple. So here's the quiz, here's the question. And there's a few things these boys have in common, but I'm after a specific thing. What do Israel Folau, Sonny Bill Williams, and Jared Hayne all have in common? Tim? They swapped codes. Okay. They're all code swappers. Each of these men have given up one professional football career for a different one. Izzy Folau changed from rugby league to Aussie rules and then to rugby union. Sonny Bill changed from rugby league to rugby union. And Jared Hayne changed from, that's right, again, rugby league to American football. I wonder what all that says about rugby league as a game, actually. But anyway. Once they had changed codes, they had to give up the old way. They couldn't try and play their new game by the old rules. It would be absurd. Imagine Izzy Folau refusing to kick the ball forward in a game of AFL to his Giants teammates because he's worried that he'd give away an offside penalty. Or Sonny Bill Williams insisting that he'd be allowed to stop and play the ball after he's been tackled in a game of rugby union. Or Jared Hayne deciding that he would stay on the field for the 49ers in both attack and defence. So with a new code, there is a new way to play. The old way must stop. Now you too, disciple of Christ, have the same thing in common with these men, sort of. You are a code switcher. In Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul explains something that happens to a believer when they put their faith in Jesus. They have had a change of allegiance. We are playing under a new code, so to speak. We belong to, are found in, and saved by Christ Jesus. And with this new allegiance comes a new way of living. Colossians 3, 1-4 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, did you catch the two different codes there? The different ways of life? On the one hand, there is the earthly way. That's the old code. On the other hand, there is the heavenly way, the godly way, our new way. And notice that this isn't just some tokenistic gesture. When Jared Hayne went and started playing for the 49ers, I thought, yeah, sure, I'll support them. Why not? I don't have another American football team I go for, I'll go for them. But apart from a vague interest in whether they had managed to actually win a game or not, my support didn't go much further. I didn't buy a shirt. I didn't tune in and watch the games online. I was and remain not even a half-hearted supporter. Can you be quarter-hearted at something? Yeah. So our change of code to the heavenly way must be wholehearted change. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Heart and mind, we're to be fully committed to God's new way. But hold on. That does sound rather extreme. And anyway, isn't the whole reason why God became a man, lived a perfect life and died on a cross, wasn't that to save us from our sins because we couldn't live God's way? Well, the answer to both those questions is yes, but. Yes, but. Is a wholehearted commitment to living God's new way extreme? Yes. And as we read on, it gets even more extreme. Verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Now, this is no mere encouragement to try harder to be good. This is a full-blooded, serious battle against an old, entrenched way of life. There's also a very good reason for this serious line. The earthly nature, our old nature, is the very reason why God's terrible and just judgment is coming. Look at verse 6. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. This is what we have been saved from. How can we, who have been saved from the coming wrath, and considering the cost of our redemption, casually continue in the same way of life that landed us in trouble in the first place? The Son of God died that we might be freed from the power of sin and our earthly nature. Surely we should do all we can to wage war against our old nature. Some very good news for us is that our new allegiance comes with a new ally. It is true that on our own we are powerless to overcome our earthly nature and come to God. If you look at Ephesians 2, it says that our hopelessness, our condition was so bad that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Not sick, not gravely ill, but dead in our transgressions and sins. What a relief then to hear at the start of chapter 3 of Colossians that before all this talk of putting old natures to death, we're reminded that we have been already raised with Christ. Our reality is that our salvation is secured because Jesus has secured it. We have changed code. We do not need to prove ourselves first by being good enough before God will accept us. We are accepted, and now that we belong to Jesus and the heavenly way, Paul tells the Colossians and us to change the way we live to be in line with who we are in Christ. Now, one image he uses is that of changing clothes. Just like we take off an old, dirty shirt and replace it with something clean, so too we are to take off our old way of living and put on our new self. A new self that is in Christ and is being made to be more like him. Verses 9 and 10, you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Well, what does the old self and the things that belong to the earthly nature look like? Well, there is quite the list in verses 5 to 10 that Paul attributes to our old selves, and quite frankly, you wouldn't want them read out in your eulogy. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language and lies. These are to be put off, put to death. Last night I was watching a football match between the Sydney Swans and the Adelaide Crows. it was a very close and tight game, and I felt as though the umpires got a little bit too involved and influenced the decision the wrong way. And I raged at the umpires and the television. I was so angry. Now, while we like, you know, we laugh, and it is funny, a little, we like to say that umpires are fair game and, you know, it's all right, they're just umpires. But that sort of attitude belongs to my old earthly nature. It needs to die. Those men, those umpires, are made in God's image. They could be my brothers in Christ for all I know. How pathetic that I think that distance and passion gives me an excuse to let my anger out of control. Last week I went to the doctor to have some sunspots on my hand and face looked at. The doc has this really great magnifying glass and light that shows up everything on your skin. He let me look at this spot on my hand, just here, and it wasn't pretty. It's not cancerous, thankfully, just a sunspot, but my goodness, it's ugly. You know, really close, all the details, blah, not pretty. It isn't a fun thing to do, to look at that, a little bit, but not really. It's not fun, but it's necessary. If I avoid getting these spots looked at and they become cancerous, then I'm putting my life in danger. These verses are a bit like a magnifying glass for our lives. It isn't fun to examine ourselves in light of these verses, but unless we do, how can we put old self attitudes and actions to death? The cancer of our old nature needs to be identified before it can be cut out. Thanks be to God that in Christ Jesus we have the perfect remedy for our earthly nature. What then does it look like to put on the new self in Christ? And let us remember that it is all about being what we already are. We have died to sin and have risen to new life with Jesus. So the old self's ways also need to be put to death. But be what you are, alive in Christ. And it is as dearly loved children of God that we are to put on the new self. Not as those wanting to seek adoption in God's family. It's not like Annie or Oliver Twist or one of those ones where someone comes along, potential adoptee, parent, and the kids all sort of smarten themselves up to try and be the prettiest one so that they'd get picked. It's not like that. We are already part of God's family, and that's why we should dress accordingly. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, that is more like the eulogy you want to hear. It is the type of eulogy that we often do hear, yet only one person in history can lay claim to all these virtues perfectly, and that is Jesus our Lord. It shouldn't be surprising then that this is how we are to try and live, since we are clothed in Jesus. Not, as I said, to make yourself holy, but rather because you have been made holy already. We are hidden in Christ, raised with him and made to be like him, so we should try to be like him. Be holy because you are holy. We are to seek to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle and patient. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Jesus tells his disciples in John 15 to love one another as he has loved them. And here Paul tells us that this love is to go over all virtues, binding them together. If we love others, we won't abuse them, even if they are umpires. We won't be greedy or lust after others. We won't speak badly of others and slander them. Love helps us to be patient and kind and compassionate and all the rest. And we know what love is because Jesus loved us, preferred us, gave all of himself for us. This talk of putting on clothes reminds me of the armour of God in Ephesians 6, where again we are reminded of the seriousness of our situation and that we are to stand against the devil's schemes, he who wants to rob us of our victory over sin and death in Christ. So as disciples of Christ, we know that we are in a serious situation. We have been saved from the wrath of God. We have been made holy because we died with Christ, and now we have risen with him and are hidden in him. We are called then to put to death that which belongs to the old earthly nature because we do not belong to that code anymore. And just like the doctor has a special lens to look at our skin to make sure we are healthy, so too do we, disciples of Christ, have a lens to look through at our own lives to find the areas where perhaps our old earthly nature is trying to creep back in. The lens we have is the Bible, and God has given us each other to assist and encourage to live as holy people. Verse 16 says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." The word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. Did you notice that the call to teach and admonish wasn't just directed to church leaders, but to the whole congregation? How often are we urged here to discuss more than just the weather and how we are feeling over morning tea? How often do we actually spend at least some of that time discussing with one another about the sermon or something we read in the Bible that week, teaching and admonishing one another? If you are like me, then the answer is not often. I want you to have a look around you, the people in this room. You have been put in this congregation by God for the benefit of these people sitting around you. We are doing ourselves and each other a disservice if we aren't teaching one another and speaking truth, real truth, into each other's lives. This is how we can encourage each other to be more like Jesus, to be more like how we have been made to be. So what do the attitudes and actions of a disciple of Jesus look like? More or less like those of Jesus himself. Or at least seeking to be like Jesus. We're to take off the old self and way of life, putting to death those things that belong to our earthly nature. We have made a code change and belong to a new way of life in Jesus. Discipleship is not just about adopting a set of beliefs, but growing to become more like Jesus in our attitudes and actions. Now, I can't think of a more fitting way to end than by what Paul has written in verse 17, so I'll leave you with that. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.